We invite you to visit Maserati Jacksonville today for a personalized luxury driving experience like no other. Plus, for a limited time, take advantage of our historically low interest rates. Visit online at MaseratiJacksonville.com.
Kick off the weekend with football. Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Rehabilitation Football Friday Night on 1010XL.
Happy Football Friday, Jacksonville. It is week 9 of the high school football season here in Northeast Florida. It's now time for Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Football Friday Night. It's our pregame show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM that gets you ready for all the games this weekend, tonight, and on into the weekend as well. I'm your host, Andrew Gibson, joined alongside R.J. Saunders, producing the program tonight. We've got a loaded show for you before kickoffs begin around the area, 6:30 for our Duval County home games, and also top of the hour, 7 o'clock for mini ball games, and 7:30 as we're going to have mini kickoffs at 7:30 as well, including one that I cannot wait for tonight, and that is Trinity Christian hosting Riverside. That ball game kicks off tonight at 7:30, Denny Thompson and I were just talking about that game earlier on the Frangie show, and his comment was there's probably at least 12 Division I prospects on that field tonight. When you look at Trinity Christian, they're 6-2. They take on O.J. Small and Riverside, 6-1. You can really expect a back-and-forth ball game between the Conquerors and the Generals tonight, two teams that are 6-1, 6-2. That game is at Trinity Christian tonight, and that one is a 7:30 kickoff. We certainly want to get into the 6:30 kickoffs tonight. There's a couple of big ones in there as well. And, you know, we're into week 9. We're into this portion of the season where district titles are being wrapped up across the area tonight. Sandalwood Mandarin is a 6:30 kickoff tonight as well in a Duval County Public School contest. You look at First Coast and Fletcher. That one is, I mean, look at the job that Seatric Faison has done there, 4-3 after beginning 0-3 to start the season. What a terrific job he's done there. Ryan the Hacker Green, you know him from XL Primetime. He's going to join me at 6:20 later on in our program tonight, and we really dive into all the matchups tonight, the early games, the late games as well, when we talk about the high school season here in Week 9. But tomorrow we do have the 52nd Northwest Classic. It's the biggest high school rivalry in the area. The Reigns Vikings and the Rebalt Trojans. Reigns has already wrapped up a District 3-5A championship, that because of their 25-6 win over Yulee last week, and Rebalt's loss to Parker. This is a series that Reigns leads the all-time series 37-14. They've won four in a row, including their 10-7 win back on the 50th annual game back in 2019. And the Trojans, they've struggled to start out the gate this season. They're 1-7. They will be hosting this game tomorrow afternoon around 3 o'clock. And Reigns is coming in hot. They're 5-2 this year so far. They will play that game at Rebalt again tomorrow. And I had a chance to speak with the head coach, both of Reigns, Donovan Maslin, and also Marlon White of Rebalt. And we get into what this rivalry means for both the Vikings and the Trojans tomorrow.
It means a lot. I mean, it's like a big family reunion, and like they're playing brothers and cousins, and it's all family. And I think you get more trash talk from the public, from the alumni than you do the kids, but it gives them a chance to give some bragging rights for a year. And for us on this side, it actually gives a chance to break a four-season losing streak against Reigns, which will be a positive for our program.
As Coach White mentioned, Reigns has won four in a row in the series. How important is it to snap the four-game losing streak tomorrow afternoon?
It's a big thing. And say that we have a senior group that's never beat Reigns before. I speak a lot about taking our seniors out the right way and making sure our underclassmen play for our seniors. And to give them something they haven't had in their careers will be a big win for our seniors as well.
At 1-7, it's not the season that Rebalt had anticipated. But a win against rival Reigns tomorrow would help send their seniors off the right way.
I think it's a game changer. Our seniors have been through a lot. They face a lot of adversity, and this season didn't exactly go as well as they would like to have went. But in the end, it's been an experience, and to have them start with here and end on a streak with reins, and then try to finish our season with a win against Jackson, it'll mean a lot. At least we're going out on a winning note, but it starts tomorrow, and I think it'll mean a lot for us guys, something we especially haven't done in 4 years.
1-7 Rebalt will host 5-2 Reigns tomorrow afternoon in the 52nd Northwest Classic just after 2 o'clock. What does the rivalry mean to Reigns head coach Donovan Maslin?
Personally, it means, you know, a community coming together for one common goal. That's to just fellowship and have a great time, the bragging rights back and forth. But ultimately, it's about the kids putting on the show for the community, something that's being on this side of town. And we just want to enjoy it. We want to, relish the moment. You know, not everybody gets the opportunity to play in the Northwest Classic. So we never want to take this for granted. We appreciate the community support throughout the week, you know, starting off with church service as, you know, two schools come together. So, you know, both schools are enjoying the week, enjoying the festivities, and, you know, we just can't wait for Saturday.
For those that haven't experienced the Reigns-Rebalt rivalry, what is the atmosphere like on game day?
You know, playing football, you always watch TV and you always watch those big games on Saturday, those big games on Sunday. You see people tailgating. You grow up and you want to be a part of that, and to have it on a high school level, the support and the growth it has done over the years, you know, as you're growing up through, you pick and choose what high school you want to go to, and, you know, Reigns and Rebalt is definitely making a lot of kids feel like, hey, I want to be a part of that. You know, the support, the camaraderie, the tradition that those schools have, they want to grow up and be a part of the rivalry because, you know, like I've told them, this is one of the biggest high school games you would find in Jacksonville, in the state of Florida, and probably in the nation as well.
Reigns will be on the road tomorrow at Rebalt, going for 5 wins in a row in the series. What's the message for this Vikings football team going into the rivalry matchup with the Trojans?
This game right here is a game that we must win. We have to stay inside that rectangle mentally, physically. We can't get consumed with what's going on around us, the outside festivities, any distractions. We have to stay focused on the goal at hand. And, you know, like I told him, I say we have to throw out the records, you know, the records that we have. We have to throw it out in this game, and we have to come in and, you know, we're 0-0, and we're trying to get our first win of the season. And in order for us to reach our goal, this is a must-win game for us.
Once again, thanks to Donovan Maslin and Marlon White, the head coaches of the Reigns Vikings and the Rebalt Trojans. A little preview there for the Northwest Classic, the 52nd annual matchup that gets underway tomorrow afternoon at Rebalt. And Coach Maslin was just talking about the record books. Well, let's take a look at the record books. Rebalt hasn't won a game in the series since 2016. That was a 28-12 victory back in 2016 for Rebalt. Since then, Reigns has won 4 in a row. Reigns won in 2017, 41-6. Then an 18, 14, 6, and then a low-scoring game as well in 19. Remember, that was the 50th annual game. Reigns won it 10-7. And then you look at last year's game, Reigns won the ball game 44-20. So Reigns is looking for their 5th win in a row in the series. And Coach Marlon White was there talking for the Rebalt Trojans and just mentioning how important it is for them to really try to snap this streak tomorrow in the Northwest Classic, because you've got a group of seniors there at Rebalt that have never beaten Reigns before. And you know, as rivalries go in high school football, you've got to beat your rival. That's all the kids talk about, right? You got to beat your rival, and Rebalt has not done that in 4 tries in a row. They will attempt to do that tomorrow at home. It's a home game for Rebalt against their arch-rival Reigns. That's the Northwest Classic tomorrow afternoon. Around 3 o'clock is when the game will get going. We're going to take a timeout here in our first segment. When we come back, Ryan the Hacker Green will join us from XL Primetime. He and I will get into all the games. We've got 6:30 starts. We've got 7 o'clock. We've got 7:30 games coming up tonight. Ryan the Hacker Green joins us next on Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Football Friday Night.
It's full steam ahead on your football weekend.
This is Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Rehabilitation Football Friday Night on 1010XL.
Welcome back. Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute football Friday night, getting you set for week 9 of the high school football season here in Northeast Florida. I'm your host, Andrew Gibson. Always a pleasure to welcome in my man, Ryan the Hacker Green, who joins us tonight. Week 9, here we go.
Gibby, yeah, a lot of fun last week, a lot of big games last week, more big games tonight as district titles. Yeah. Some decided last week, some will be decided tonight, and every district championship will be decided by next Friday.
You know, as we look back to Week 8 last week, the marquee matchup down in St. John's County was Bartram Trail and Creekside. You know, I had a buddy I was talking to last Saturday night, and he said he has never seen as many people as he saw at that Bartram Stadium last week. Pretty impressive win by a field goal for the Bears.
What was great about that game, Andrew, is it lived up to the expectation, right? We've been looking forward to that game for really since the beginning of the year, but clearly when we figured out Creekside was as advertised, that game was building momentum and building momentum. They kicked it off last week, a 16-13 final. Bartram wins with a field goal, basically the final play of the game. Anytime a game lives up to expectation, that's awesome. From the environment to the crowd, as you mentioned, to the on-the-field product. And congratulations to Bartram Trail, a gigantic win over Creekside. Their reward for that is a huge game tonight against Oak Leaf, again in district play. So it never ends, seemingly, for Bartram. And I'm curious to see how Creekside responds after the bye this week, as they will find themselves a couple of games they need to win to probably secure a postseason berth.
Yeah, Creekside started out so hot, and they've had some ups and downs here in the recent weeks, but we'll see how they respond, as you mentioned, after the bye week. Bartram Trail, meanwhile, 6-1. They will play 4-3 Oak Leaf later tonight. That is certainly a game we'll get to in just a few moments, but one more look back to Week 8. What about the finish for Fletcher and Nice? That was a pretty cool one there. Seatric Faison and the guys continue to win.
Great game. It'll probably mean a district championship for Fletcher, although not official yet. One more win for Fletcher should do it in district play, as they have that tiebreaker over Nice. And yeah, I mean, when a game comes down to the final 30 seconds, a quarterback sneak to win it for Fletcher, the extra point gave him the 1-point win. Some controversy in that game. Fletcher had a touchdown called back due to penalty with about a minute to go. Nice intercepts the ball. That was called back due to penalty to give Fletcher another shot. And then Fletcher ultimately punches it in. But yeah, Seatric Faison after an 0-3 start, four consecutive wins, huge district wins. And like I said, Gibby, one more win for Fletcher either tonight or next week, and they will become district champions.
Each game as the weeks go by take on greater significance as district championships begin to wrap up. Let's take a look now at the Week 9 slate of high school football games here in Northeast Florida. Moments ago, we just mentioned Bartram Trail. They have a big one tonight against Oak Leaf.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting scenario because you tend to forget about Oak Leaf. We had Frank Garris on, the head coach of Oak Leaf, on XL Primetime this week. Now, Oak Leaf lost a tough game to Mandarin, an unfortunate loss, certainly. But here's Oak Leaf. They're 1-1 in district play. They have two district games left. Bartram tonight, Creekside next week. Even though you wouldn't probably predict it to happen, if Oak Leaf wins tonight and wins next week, Oak Leaf is district champions based on the way the schedule played. And Frank Garris brought up an excellent point. They're 4-3. They played a ridiculously hard schedule. It's probably going to be a district title or no playoffs at all for Oak Leaf. Their playoffs basically begin tonight. They need to beat Bartram, and they need to beat Creekside next week. If they do, they're district champions. If they lose one of those games, they're probably not going to the postseason at all. So even though the playoffs don't officially begin until mid-November, Gibby, for some teams like Oak Leaf, it's pretty much do or die starting tonight.
Oak Leaf 4-3. They host 6-1 Bartram Trail. You know, Bartram Trail, we've talked a lot about that defense this year. You know, they have something that not a lot of high school teams have and not a lot of teams that can certainly rely on, and that's a really good field goal kicker. Liam Padron has kicked them past Ponte Vedra and then Creekside the last 2 weeks. It's pretty impressive to see a high school kicker be as clutch as he's been for Bartram Trail.
Not, I mean, you know, you mentioned clutch, and that's a great word. The fact that they have that confidence to be able to know in a close game, deep into the fourth quarter, they have a field goal kicker. I mean, how many schools in our area have lost games by 1 point or 2 points, having the ball inside the opponent's 20 at the end of the game, but either they didn't have confidence in their kicker or flat out didn't have a kicker. Bartram Trail has that kicker. They have that luxury. As you mentioned, he's won a couple of games for him this year, and that is a huge, huge weapon for Bartram moving forward.
Another game that really you'll have to keep your eye on tonight at 7:30 is Riverside Trinity Christian. That is a monster game tonight in Week 9.
Curious to see how these two teams respond. Both teams have had very good years to this point. I'll say very good because I don't know if you can say great anymore, Gibby. The last time we saw Riverside, they blew a 26-7 lead, lost to Lake City Columbia. Even though this is a non-district game tonight, Riverside pretty much knows their path to a state title is going to be a lot of road games in the playoffs because Lake City Columbia won that district. So how will they respond after a week off to think about that? Trinity Christian, on the other side, has won some huge games this year, but yet came up short last week against Florida High in what many people feel was an upset, that Florida High beat them. So two teams looking to get back on track. Two teams are going to get back in the win column as the postseason is on the horizon. A big game tonight, and for the loser, even more questions as we near the end of the regular season.
6-1 Riverside at 6-2 Trinity Christian. That game with a ton of talent on the football field tonight over there at Trinity Christian. A kickoff tonight at 7:30. You know, I'm looking at this matchup tonight with Ed White and Baker County. That is one. They're in Wildcat country tonight.
It's a district championship game. Now, Baker County, Coach Kevin Mays was first to point out that Baker doesn't technically win the district if they win tonight. Although, come on. If they beat Ed White tonight, there a lot of things would have to happen for them not to be district champions. For Ed White, it's very simple. An Ed White win means they are district champions. So it's basically a de facto district championship game. You got 5-2 Baker County hosting 5-1 Ed White. Ed White started out very, very good. The last 2 weeks, been a little shaky. They lost to Mandarin for their first loss of the year. They had to come back last week and beat Bishop Kenny to set up this game against Baker. And Baker County is known for tough physical football. You know that's what they're going to want to do out there in McClenny tonight. Ed White, kind of known for the same thing this year. Patterson and Ellis, their two running backs, might be the best running back combo in the area. It's going to be a physical game, and whoever wins it between Baker County and Ed White is certainly going to earn that win tonight.
You guys had Coach Mays from Baker County on the High School Half Hour on XL Primetime this week. What was that conversation like with him?
Certainly, it's a big game. It's senior night at Baker County, their final home game of the year, and what a better opportunity for them than to basically win a district championship by beating Ed White. And Baker knows, just as Ed White knows, both teams likely for the postseason, but if you do not win tonight, that means you're going on the road in the postseason. Whether that means to Tallahassee or to the Panhandle, that is not what you want to do in round one or round two. You want to have the opportunity to play games at home. The winner of tonight's game will have a home playoff game. The loser, like we said, more than likely going to have to travel a good distance in round number one. That's what's on the line tonight.
The Bowles Bulldogs, after what seems like a month, they haven't played football. It's been 2 weeks, but Bowles is back on the field tonight. They're 6-0. They've had 2 weeks off now. They play at Gainesville Buholtz tonight. Buholtz is 6-1. I would expect Bowles to take care of business, but it'll be interesting to see how the Bulldogs react now after having a couple weeks off.
Absolutely no question that before their three-week hiatus, really, they were the best team in the area. I still believe they're the best team in the area, but man alive, 31-0 over Trinity, or 31-0 over University, 35-0 over Trinity. You outscore University Christian and Trinity Christian 66-0. They were absolutely rolling. And then Clearwater couldn't play due to weather issues. Last week was their bye week, so now here we are. 3 weeks after their last game, playing a very good Gainesville Buholtz team. A Buholtz team, listen to these last couple of games. Buholtz beat Gainesville 34-3, beat Tallahassee Childs 35-10, beat Tallahassee Leon 49-3. It is a very good Buholtz team that Bowles is playing tonight. I'll be interested, Gibby, to see what the 3 weeks did to Bowles. Did it refocus them, or did it make them rusty? I think we'll find out pretty early on tonight on 10:10 a.m.
Yeah, I think so. And who knows if the injury situation for Bowles, that hopefully gave them an opportunity to get some guys healthy if they did have some guys banged up with a three-week hiatus. But Bowles is back on the field tonight. You can catch that broadcast coming up top of the hour on 10:10 a.m. Tony Smith, it's been a while since he's been behind the microphone.
Yeah.
So he'll get back on there with Chris Verlander. That's a road game tonight, by the way. Bowles on the road at Gainesville-Buchholz, 6-0 Bowles. 6-1 Gainesville-Buchholz. You know, one team that has already wrapped up a district title, that's Lake City Columbia. They're at Madison County this week. Lake City Columbia 6-2, already having wrapped up a district title.
Good old-fashioned bragging rights on the line here with Lake City Columbia and Madison County. We talked to the coaching staff at Lake City Columbia last week. They're still on, you know, cloud nine after that win over Riverside. They beat Orange Park last week to rack up a district championship. They know they're going to be hosting a home playoff game in round number one. Now it's about fine-tuning things. And again, when Madison County and Lake City Columbia get together, the battle of I-10, if you will, always a lot of good games between those two proud programs. A little bit out of our listening area, but one I'm going to be paying attention to tonight between the Cowboys and the Tigers.
You know, schools can begin wrapping up district titles. You're positioning yourself for the playoffs here in week 9 of the high school football season. What else stands out to you about this particular week?
Well, I think when you look around, and there's a couple of games, like Fleming Island and Atlantic Coast is a game. Both teams are probably going to need some help to get into the postseason, but that conversation almost goes away for the loser tonight. The winner still alive for a postseason berth, but you almost have to win tonight if you're both Atlantic Coast and you're Fleming Island. Look at a team like Mandarin. Mandarin's also a team probably going to need a little help to get into the postseason, yet you look at Mandarin play Sandalwood tonight. If they were to beat Sandalwood, they still have Fletcher on the schedule. If Mandarin wins out, there is a chance that Mandarin could sneak in to the postseason as well. University Christian playing up in classification against a very good Parker football team. How can David Penland and the 2A University Christians, how will they compete against a higher classification here in Northeast Florida in the Parker Braves? So there's a lot of really intriguing matchups tonight, both in district play and out of district play, that I'm really curious to see how they turn out.
You know, I want to give a shout-out to Hilliard. Hilliard's still undefeated, man. They're 7-0. Give a shout-out to the 1A program. I played for a 1A program when I was in high school, a smaller school, but they certainly deserve the recognition. The Hilliard Flashes are 7-0, so congratulations to them on a terrific, terrific start as well. As we get into the latter portion of the season, 7-0 is pretty good.
There's no question about it. And look, we have 60-plus schools in our listening area that we talk about on a pretty regular basis. I believe two of them are undefeated, and that's Bowles and that's Hilliard. So absolutely, those kids at Hilliard need the recognition. That staff has done a great job out there.
Every week here on Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Football Friday Night, we take a look at one of the former stars of Jacksonville High School football that's gone on to do bigger and better things in their career, whether it be high school, college, pro. And I want to talk about Siatric Faison. I mean, this guy, one of the best, if not the best, running backs in Jacksonville area history. When you look at what he did at Fletcher, he now takes the job as the head coach at Fletcher. The turnaround that he's had with that program, losing their first couple of games, now reeling off, what, 4 in a row now? A really impressive job. And then, of course, he's just inducted to the Florida Georgia Hall of Fame. Congratulations. What a story for Siatric.
A terrific, not a good, but a terrific high school football player out at Fletcher. Siatric Faison, boy, I remember playing back then when you had him at Fletcher. You had Leon Washington at Jackson. There was a guy named Lionel Gates at Parker. All three running backs went on to play big-time college football. Siatric at Florida, Leon at Florida State. Lionel, I believe, went to Louisville. So, yeah, that was a great time for running backs in our area. And people, you know, don't really realize, or maybe don't remember, Gibby, Siatric was pretty good in college. He was a 1,000-yard rusher at the University of Florida. He had a big role in the Ron Zook years there at Florida, 2002, 2003, 2004. Gets drafted in the fourth round of the NFL. Things didn't work out necessarily in the NFL, but nevertheless, great high school career, great college career, gets drafted in round 4, now completely comes back full circle, is coaching at his alma mater where he starred in high school. Now he's starring on the sidelines with a clipboard in his hand, winning four games in a row. Like we said, a win tonight or a win next week, and they are district champions in year number one. Never mind the fact Seattrick got the job like 3 weeks before the season started. It was a really, really late transfer of power to Seattrick from the previous staff. Must have to win tonight if you're both Atlantic Coast and you're Fleming Island. Look at a team like Mandarin. Mandarin's also a team probably going to need a little help to get into the postseason. Yet you look at Mandarin play Sandalwood tonight. If they were to beat Sandalwood, they still have Fletcher on the schedule. If Mandarin wins out, there is a chance that Mandarin could sneak in to the postseason as well. University Christian playing up in classification against a very good Parker football team. How can David Pendleton and the 2A University Christians, how will they compete against a higher classification here in Northeast Florida in the Parker Braves? So there's a lot of really intriguing matchups tonight, both in district play and out of district play, that I'm really curious to see how they turn out.
You know, I want to give a shout out to Hilliard. Hilliard's still undefeated, man. They're 7-0. Give a shout out to the 1A program. I played for a 1A program when I was in high school, a smaller school, but they certainly deserve the recognition. The Hilliard Flashes are 7-0, so congratulations to them on a terrific, terrific start as well. Here in, as we get into the latter portion of the season, 7-0 is pretty good.
There's no question about it. And look, we have 60-plus schools in our listening area that we talk about on a pretty regular basis. I believe two of them are undefeated, and that's Bowles and that's Hilliard. So absolutely, those kids at Hilliard need the recognition. That staff has done a great job out there.
Every week here on Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Football Friday Night, we take a look at one of the former stars of Jacksonville High School football that's gone on to do bigger and better things in their career, whether it be high school, college, pro. And I want to talk about Seattrick Faison. I mean, this guy, one of the best, if not the best, running backs in Jacksonville area history. When you look at what he did at Fletcher, he now takes the job as the head coach at Fletcher. The turnaround that he's had with that program, losing their first couple of games, now reeling off, what, four in a row now? A really impressive job. And then, of course, he's just inducted to the Florida-Georgia Hall of Fame. Congratulations. What a story for Seattrick.
A terrific, not a good, but a terrific high school football player out at Fletcher. Seattrick Faison, boy, I remember playing back then when you had him at Fletcher. You had Leon Washington at Jackson. There was a guy named Lionel Gates at Parker. All three running backs went on to play big-time college football. Seattrick at Florida, Leon at Florida State. Lionel, I believe, went to Louisville. So, yeah, that was a great time for running backs in our area. And people, you know, don't really realize, or maybe don't remember, Gibby, Seattrick was pretty good in college. He was a 1,000-yard rusher at the University of Florida. He had a big role in the Ron Zook years there at Florida, 2002, 2003, 2004. Gets drafted in the fourth round of the NFL. Things didn't work out necessarily in the NFL, but nevertheless, great high school career, great college career, gets drafted in round four, now completely comes back full circle, is coaching at his alma mater where he starred in high school. Now he's starring on the sidelines with a clipboard in his hand, winning four games in a row. Like we said, a win tonight or a win next week, and they are district champions in year number one. Never mind the fact Seattrick got the job like 3 weeks before the season started. It was a really, really late transfer of power to Seattrick from the previous staff. So you combine all that, great year one for Seattrick, and he's proving to be a very, very good high school football head coach.
Final few moments here with Ryan the Hacker Green. Catch him weekdays from noon to 3, XL primetime here on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. So here's my question. Gators off this week, Jaguars off this week. What are you doing this weekend?
This weekend's all about the family. Yeah. I'm going to watch a little college football tomorrow, certainly. There won't be a Saturday that goes by in the fall where I'm not watching a little football. But I'm going to hang out with the young man, the wife. There's a pumpkin patch thing we're going to where I think there's a pony ride involved and a hay ride. And this week's all about family because, let's be honest, after this week, it's 11 straight weekends of Jaguar football. It's five straight weekends of Gator football. So there will be some football on the agenda, don't get me wrong. But this week's all about family time as well.
Yeah, certainly. I'll be myself getting into something else as well. But football is always going to be on, no question about it.
Well, your football weekend's already off to an unbelievable start with App State on Wednesday night.
Man, that was incredible to be down 14-0 to a very good Coastal Carolina team, to come back and hit an onside kick, score, tie the game, and then as the game went on, you just make adjustments and finally pull it out with a field goal up in Boone. Was a pretty awesome night, and the Braves won. So
yeah, I was thinking about you on Wednesday. I said, you know what? Andrew Gibson is having a pretty good sports night.
It's the thing about October, because you get football and you get playoff baseball. To me, in my world, it doesn't get any better than that. Your thought on the Gator quarterback situation heading into Georgia? Is it going to be Emory Jones? I mean, could it not be Anthony Richardson in this spot for the Gators?
I don't know how you don't play Anthony Richardson. And by play, I mean start. I don't know how you don't start Anthony Richardson. Look, nothing against Emory Jones, but come on. Enough's enough. It's obvious who the better quarterback is, who gives Florida the better chance of winning. If Dan Mullen starts Emory Jones and plays him a majority of the time against Georgia, I don't know what to tell him, and I don't blame any Gator fan for being very, very upset. I've seen enough of both guys. We're 7 games in. You're 4-3, by the way. The season's at best a disappointment. Could become a catastrophic failure with another loss or two to end the year. You got to play Anthony Richardson. You got to get him ready for next year at this point. If they don't play Anthony Richardson, I think Dan Mullen is going to lose some Gator fans.
Florida, Georgia, coming quickly. It's going to be here next Saturday here in Jacksonville. That's next game for the Gators and the Dogs. And boy, Georgia, they're so good. They're number one in the country. It's going to be an interesting game.
My advice to Gator fans: go enjoy the tailgating. Have a great time at RV City. Get all your partying out, because 3:30 next Saturday might be a bad 3 hours for you.
What about the Jaguars as we wrap things up here tonight? A win in London, the Matthew Wright field goal among 3 that he hit in the game. God, that win was so big for the Jags.
You know, the team has a lot of flaws, but who cares, right? They won a game for the first time in 399 days. Jaguar fans on Sunday night, when we were doing the fifth quarter, all over the city, were just ecstatic. I saw the videos of everybody celebrating the Matthew Wright 53-yard field goal to win it. It was a great moment here in Jacksonville. It was a moment that the fan base so desperately needed. And by the way, wins are going to be great in the next 11. You're going to lose your fair share. We understand that. But look at your quarterback. Look at 16. There is no question he is getting better every single week. The guy is going to be a stud. I think he's established that at this point. So hopefully they win some games, get the fans more excited, but develop 16 in the next 11 games so that next year in 2022 we're on the cusp of something.
Here's the thing that I tell Jaguar fans all the time when I'm talking to them and my friends and buddies and stuff. Yes, the Jaguars are rebuilding, but here's the thing. They have already figured out the hardest part of a rebuild,
right?
And that's the quarterback. You figure out the quarterback, it all falls into place, man. I mean, you look around the league. What was Kansas City before they got Patrick Mahomes? And look at them now. They build around Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen with the Bills. The Bills were not very good over the last couple of years. They get Josh Allen. They start putting things together. Look where they are now. I think the Jaguars in short time can be like those teams. If you put things around Trevor Lawrence, you get a pretty good defense around him. But really, the offensive skill players is what you really have to build around Trevor Lawrence. I think he can turn around quickly.
Look at the best quarterbacks in the league right now. You mentioned them, their rookie years. Mahomes played one game. Rodgers didn't play at all. Kyler Murray didn't go to the playoffs. Justin Herbert didn't go to the playoffs. Josh Allen didn't go to the playoffs. Lamar Jackson did not play the entire rookie year. He was switching in and out with Flacco. Trevor Lawrence is getting all this experience. They're not going to go to the playoffs this year, but neither did any of those other guys. And now look where Josh Allen is. Look where Kyler Murray is. Look where Justin Herbert is. Hopefully, that's where Trevor Lawrence will be in the next year or two.
Jaguars off this Sunday, but we travel to Seattle next Sunday. We'll see how things go against the Geno Smith-led Seahawks with Russell Wilson down for a few weeks as well. Man, always great stuff. We'll talk to you later tonight on the postgame.
Gibby, always enjoy it, my friend. We'll see you under the Friday night lights.
Ryan the Hacker Green from XL Primetime each week with us on Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Football Friday Night.
The weekend is underway. Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Rehabilitation Football Friday night on 1010XL.
Welcome you back. Week 9 of the high school football season underway here in Jacksonville. I'm your host, Andrew Gibson. Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Football Friday night. 7 early games with a 6:30 kickoff tonight here in the Jacksonville area. We will keep you up to date on all the scores going into the night and throughout the evening. We do have a touchdown early in this Sandalwood Mandarin game. The Saints have jumped out to a 7-0 lead over Mandarin. That is an 8A matchup tonight. The Sandalwood Saints 7, the Mandarin Mustangs nothing. No score in the other games. Some of the other ones include Terry Parker hosting University Christian, Orange Park at Westside, First Coast at Fletcher. All these games scoreless thus far, but the one score we do have in so far, 7-0 Sandalwood over Mandarin. That game is in the first quarter. We will keep you up to date. Coming up at the top of the hour, just under 15 minutes from now, the Bishop Kenny Crusaders at 4-2. They will take on the Suwannee Bulldogs, and you can hear the broadcast on 92.5 FM. Let's welcome in my friend Marty Paulman, who has the call for that game tonight. Marty, how we doing?
Hey, Gibby, good to be with you as always, and it's good to be back on the banks of the St. John's River tonight. Looks like the skies are clearing off, and, you know, the most beautiful setting, I think, in high school football that we have. It's senior night for Bishop Kenny tonight as the Suwannee Bulldogs come in from Live Oak.
Yeah, no question about it. It is. You spoke about the setting there. If you haven't been to a game at Bishop Kenny, man, you're doing it wrong, because that setting on the river there is just incredible stuff. It's always great to have a Bishop Kenny home game, of course, here on 92.5 FM. And Marty, you mentioned it's senior night. Give us a couple of seniors that have really stepped up this year for Kenny.
Well, and Gibby, I'll tell you, they had 17 seniors honored just a few minutes ago. They did that in the pregame, and I think you're going to know these names pretty well, but the guys that we've kind of focused on, and Michael Phillips and I were talking about this. First of all, Brad Miller, who was the quarterback most of last season, and then this year has been the leading rusher most of the year, playing his final home game tonight. Corey McCallop is a guy, a linebacker, who's really stepped up this year as a senior, one of the leading tacklers on this team. You can't forget Andrew Tabor. You've seen Tabor play, Andrew. I know that you... You know, he is explosive at times, but also an excellent returner, kick returner, has a kick return for a touchdown this year, a punt return as well, and an excellent defensive player. And then finally, well, Baylor Newsom. Baylor Newsom, probably the MVP of this team defensively this year, already 82 tackles. And then, of course, last year was one of the leading rusher for this team. And last week got in the backfield against Ed White, and his first carry had a 26-yard touchdown. So, you know, those are the four guys that I think we feature on as seniors. But, you know, if you look at it, Baylor Newsom and Andrew Tabor have been doing this for a while.
Yeah, I would say that, too. Of the 17 seniors, those two right there, I think you would talk to the coach Tim Krause, and he would tell you that Baylor Newsom and Andrew Tabor are kind of the heart and soul of this team, aren't they?
They are. And, you know, Coach Tim Krause is here in his third year, so back here as the head coach at Bishop Kenny after, you know, being an assistant here before and then the head coach at Nice. But, you know, he comes back, and these guys have been kind of setting the standard here in the first 3 years that he's been back at Bishop Kenny. And that's why we've seen, you know, a team that won only one game 2 years ago, won one game last year, has improved this year to winning its first four games, and defensively has been much better this year than they were a year ago. So I think you're right. Those two, if you ask Coach Krause, those are the guys that have kind of been the leaders since day one, since he's come back and become the head coach here.
4-2 Bishop Kenny hosting 3-4 Suwannee out of Live Oak. One more thought on the seniors for Bishop Kenny. How many of those guys, I don't know if you know the answer to this yet, but any of those guys have college football in their future of those 17?
Well, Baylor, you know, Newsom was just announced, and he wants to play at the next level. As far as I know right now, I don't know if he has any offers. This is something we'll be checking on as the season goes on. But I would say Baylor, Newsom, and I think that Tabor will play at the next level as well. We'll definitely check on that as the season goes on. But the only issue I may have with Tabor is, you know, not very big, but he's quick. I mean, he can play for anybody. And I think Baylor Newsom is just a big, big kid who can play on either side of the ball for wherever he wants to. And I think you're going to see some big-time offers coming in for him as the year goes on.
The Suwannee Bulldogs visit from Live Oak tonight. Tell me about Suwannee tonight.
Well, Suwannee, you know, this is a program, Gibby, that's had a lot of history. They won four straight state titles in the late 80s, which is tied for the state record with Trinity Christian, among others, who did that from 2013 to 16. So, you know, Swanee's had some history behind it. They were state runner-up back in 99. And just 5 years ago, they were in the state semifinal round. They lost to Wakulla. And then 1 year was knocked out by Godby, who knocked out Bishop Kenny the round before back in 2014. So Swanee's a team that's been pretty good through the years. This year, though, struggling a bit, not scoring a lot of points. They scored 42 against Dixie County, 43 against Westside the first two games, and then they went through a four-game losing streak against Ed White, Bradford, and Hawthorne in that stretch as well. So it's been kind of a tough year for them. They beat Paxson last week, but with Baker County coming up next week, this is a big game for Swanee. They're actually still in the district race, as Ed White and Baker County are both undefeated, and they're playing tonight over in McClinney. So Swanee still has a shot at the district title, technically, with Baker County coming up next week. So for Bishop Kenny, a chance to play spoiler to that tonight, and I think Swanee is just a younger team and a team that's been struggling offensively.
Bishop Kenny has started out 4-0, Marty. They've lost their last two, but look, against very good teams that I think you could say that are, you know, one of them is going to have a district title, certainly, in that matchup tonight, Baker County and Ed White and Glen St. Mary tonight. But back-to-back losses against two good teams in Baker County and Ed White.
Yeah, that's true. And really, the Baker County-Ed White game is going to be interesting to see, because those were the last two Bishop Kenny opponents, and Baker County came in here a couple weeks ago and just kind of took it to Bishop Kenny, whereas last week's game, BK kind of dominated Ed White for 2.5 quarters before the Ed White Commanders came back and won that game by 6. But the good news for Bishop Kenny is, despite those two losses and not really being alive for the district title, 5A District 2, according to the RPI numbers put out by the FHSAA, right now they are sitting in eighth place in their region, which would put Bishop Kenny in the playoffs. So still a lot to play for if the Crusaders can win tonight against Swanee, next week at Paxson on Thursday, and then at Episcopal. They're 7-2, and I think they have every right to get an at-large bid, because, again, their only two losses would have been to Baker County and Ed White.
All right, Marty, I know you got the anthem going there, so we'll let you guys go. Bishop Kenny hosting Swanee tonight. Marty Paulman on the call tonight alongside Michael Phillips. Marty, thanks for the time. Have a good call.
Thanks, Kibby. Good talking to you as always.
All right, there he goes, Marty Paulman. The anthem being performed right now there on the banks of the St. John's River as Bishop Kenny getting ready to host the Swanee Bulldogs. You'll hear that broadcast coming up in just a moment on 92.5 FM. We'll take a timeout when we come back. Tony Smith, he's on the road tonight. He's well-rested. He's had a few weeks off. The Bulls Bulldogs, they get back on the field tonight. They're on the road at Gainesville-Buholtz. We will check in with Tony Smith to talk Bulls Bulldogs football next on Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Football Friday Night.
It's full steam ahead on your football weekend.
This is Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Rehabilitation Football Friday Night on 1010XL.
7 o'clock hour is here. Welcome back, Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Football Friday Night. I'm your host, Andrew Gibson. Thanks to Marty Paulman for joining us from Bishop Kenny moments ago as the Crusaders get set to host the Swanee Bulldogs. Bishop Kenny had started out 4-0. They lost their last two. And so they are trying to get back on the winning track tonight against a 3-4 Swanee Bulldogs team that comes in tonight from Live Oak. And that game you can hear coming up in just a few moments on 92.5 FM. Marty Paulman alongside Michael Phillips. Our apologies for a second there. We had the national anthem. As Marty was talking, we weren't aware, or at least I wasn't aware, that the anthem was going on. We were going out to Marty live there. So certainly the anthem happening right there before the kickoff as we try to catch up with Marty. But let's now bring in our friend Tony Smith. They're on the road tonight, the Bulls Bulldogs. They kick off later tonight, 7:30, as Bulls has been off for a few weeks. They go to Gainesville-Buholtz tonight. Tony, good evening.
Hey, Gibby, yeah, no anthem imminent here down in Stark, Florida.
Yeah, we don't want to talk over the anthem, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But, yeah, excited to be back on the call and back to playing some high school football here on a Friday night.
Yeah, so it's been a little bit of a hiatus for Bulls out of their control. They had a bye week last week. There were two opponents they were supposed to play, but under certain circumstances weren't able to do it. So it's been a little bit of a stretch here where Bulls hasn't played football. How are they doing?
Yeah, I think we're going to find out. I don't know what the answer to that question is. I imagine that they're fine, but it'll certainly be a tough test here this evening going up against this Gainesville-Buholz team. You look back on what this Bobcats team has gotten done to this point this year. They're 6-1 on the season. That lone loss came against a Cardinal Gibbons team that beat Bowles in the state championship game last year. That's their only loss, and that was in a 16-7 game where they played them tight. I was talking to a couple guys that had been out at that game earlier this year and said their quarterback, Whittemore, just threw three interceptions in that game, and it cost them an opportunity that to maybe win that game when everything was said and done. So a couple weeks off, what kind of rust do they have to knock off here for the Bulldogs? I'm not sure how much, but they better get it off quick because this Bobcats team is no joke tonight.
Bowles is undefeated, Tony, 6-0. To this point, has this – obviously it's not a surprise because we knew that Bowles was good, but,
sure.
I mean, is this team maybe surprising you a little bit just how good they've been so far through six games?
I think even expecting the defense to be good this year, that it would be hard to say it's not a surprise how dominant they've been on that side of the football. You shut out University Christian and Trinity Christian in back-to-back weeks. You give up 14 points against Fernandina Beach the week before, and that was in a game that was – it was a running clock when they scored the two touchdowns they did late in that football game. They gave up a pick six against Columbia, so no defensive points surrendered in that game in week two this year. The only team that has really gotten anything done offensively against the Bulldogs this year is that St. Augustine game, week three. And even expecting them to be really good on that side of the football this season – they have been dominant throughout the entirety of the season, basically, to this point. If they can continue that, then they got a real shot to make a deep run into the state playoffs this year. But that defense has been lethal, especially there in the front seven. They can just get after you, unlike I've ever seen a Bulls team do since I've been a part of the broadcast here. It is the best front seven I've seen the Bulldogs have.
Tony, with these few weeks that Bowles has had off, have they had a chance to get healthy? Have they had injury issues at all?
They weren't having a whole lot of issues even going into the bye week. They were dealing with Miles Johnson, their senior running back, earlier in the year, but he was back for them. You know, I don't think it can hurt to get guys like Jack Pyburn and linebacker and Hayden Schwartz and Bradley Mann and these guys that you rely on in that front seven the opportunity to rest up a little bit. But they weren't having to deal with real major injuries to this point in the season anyway. But it can't hurt to let these guys rest for a couple weeks. You probably don't want to do it for, you know, 3 weeks, which is what these kids are going to have to get ready for tonight, is not having played a football game in 3 weeks. Trinity Christian was the last time they were on the field. It feels like a lifetime ago with the way the football season works. They got 3 more weeks to try to get ready and cranked up for the playoffs here in about a month. So we'll see what they look like tonight. But like I told you, Gibby, this is far from a cakewalk. This is a really good Buholz team. They're one of the better teams in 7A in the area, one of the better teams in 7A in the state. Bowles is still a 4A football team. This is a really, really tough test for them tonight, especially on the road.
Tony, in your conversations, I don't know how much you've spoken to Coach Toblin, but getting prepared for this game, maybe what's the message for this team? What's the kind of moments that they're going through right now being an undefeated team?
Yeah, I think you want to find a way to finish it at 9-0, and I'm not sure that that's the kind of message that Toblin's giving them necessarily. You know, getting ready for this game tonight, it's weird, as we've been discussing. They haven't played in a while. So what's it going to look like when they get back on the field tonight? I would expect that they'd be fine. This is Bowles, and they are generally fine when they step onto a football field. This is where they seem to be very comfortable, and I would expect that to be the way that it looks tonight. But you have a team that is on top of the standings in 4A football in the state. Obviously, that means they're on top in their region. They're in position right now with the way that the 4A playoffs work to get a bye the first week of the playoffs. They got 3 more games to get there, to get to 9-0 and guarantee themselves that kind of spot when everything is said and done, because it's all based on RPI. They're not worried about a region. They're not worried about any of that. They're just worried about where they stand with the RPI. And right now, they are in really, really good shape from that perspective to get that number one seed when everything is said and done in their region. That has to be the focus for this football team, is to maintain that playoff positioning as they go into the playoffs and hopefully get that first round bye.
A few more moments here with Tony Smith. He'll have the call tonight for Bowles football on 10:10 a.m. Kickoff 7:30. They're on the road tonight. Gainesville, Buholtz. The Bowles Bulldogs are undefeated heading into play tonight. Tony, is this the biggest test that Bowles will have for the remainder of the season tonight?
I think so. And this is a Buholtz team that, as I said, went toe-to-toe with Cardinal Gibbons. They got some good wins, including Tallahassee Leon the last time they were on the field. This has been a really good team to this point this year. It is 7A football compared to 4A football. And so, yeah, it's a really, really tough test for the Bulldogs here this evening. And of the last three games, they got Buholtz this week, then a couple of home games against Westwood and Mainland. And the hope for Bowles, I'm sure, is that they won't have to go on the road again. You know, like, they'll be home for the remainder of this thing. We'll see what happens deep into a playoff run for this Bowles team. But, yeah, of the last three remaining opponents, this is a really, really tough ball game here tonight against these Bobcats.
Last thing on Bowles, and we're going to get to some Jags before we let you go. You probably saw this week on social media, but I saw that Hayden Schwartz, one of the top defenders on the Bowles Bulldogs defense, reopened his recruitment this week. He was committed to Nebraska. We've spoken at length about him. I don't expect you to know like all the inner workings of what's going on there, but you know, reopening his recruitment is interesting.
It certainly is, and I think it speaks to where Nebraska is right now and the struggles that that university is going to have. Nebraska is a school that 20 years ago could recruit the entire country. They were one of the teams that was going to be on TV every week. They got that national spotlight every week. It's not the same college football landscape that it was 20 years ago anymore. It's harder for a team like Nebraska, switching conferences, going through the new coaches, everything that they're going through, to hold on in recruiting at this point in time. And with the issues they're currently having over there, I'm not surprised necessarily that Hayden Schwartz would reopen his commitment, but he made that decision here in the last couple of weeks. We'll see where eventually he lands. It's a bummer, I'm sure, if you're a Nebraska fan, that Hayden has decided he's going to try to at least take a look somewhere else. But it's not a big surprise that he would at least consider those options right now.
Tony Smith with us on 1010 XL 92.5 FM, Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute football Friday night. All right, Tony, in our last few minutes before we let you go, you got a ball game to call tonight. But the Jaguars, a bye week. But, man, how big was that win in London?
I don't know that you can call it big enough, Gibby. Honestly, we don't have to talk about it anymore. You know, they can just get ready to play a football game. They don't have to be asked about how big would it be to get a win this week? They don't have to be asked those kind of questions. Is the streak is at 20 now? What does that streak mean? They don't have to be answering those kind of questions as they get ready for Seattle next weekend, but have the bye this week. And so fans get to celebrate for a couple of weeks, which they haven't had a chance to do in a long, long time. And, you know, we've been reacting with fans all week on the radio, as you know, Gibby. And yeah, there was a lot of joy in the city when the Jaguars found a way to get that first win. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to talk about it anymore. We can just get ready to play football. And there are opportunities on the schedule coming out of the bye week, maybe not necessarily with a road trip to Seattle, but you look at the schedule in general with two games against Indianapolis, you still got one against Houston, you still got the Jets. There are opportunities for this Jaguars team to get some wins coming out of the bye week between then and the end of the season. And even bigger than all of that is Trevor Lawrence keeps getting better. Every week, he keeps getting better. And in the last couple of weeks where you've seen improvement continue, that's with his center going down. That's with his right guard going down. That's with DJ Chark being knocked out of the lineup for this football team a couple of weeks ago as well. And despite any of that going on around him, Trevor Lawrence just continues to ascend.
Yeah, and Trevor Lawrence, as we were talking about earlier when Hacker was on, Tony, with me earlier, yes, the Jaguars are in a rebuild, but they've figured out the hardest part of the rebuild. That's the quarterback. And I think Trevor Lawrence is certainly going to be a star for years to come here at Jacksonville. We can see that before our eyes. And, you know, it's interesting. I saw a video that the Jaguars released earlier today on social media. The celebration in the locker room, Urban Meyer hugging players and players picking him up. You know, all those stories about the discord and the mistrust of Urban Meyer in the locker room, all that stuff has gone away, don't you think?
You know, gone away, I'm not sure. I don't know how big of a factor it ever was, honestly, right, within the locker room. I don't know how much of an impact any of that stuff has on the actual players in the locker room. I can tell you this. I know for a fact that every single one of them loves to win.
Yes.
You know, and it doesn't matter who you're doing the winning with. If you're winning, it's all good. And they finally found a way to get that monkey off their back. We'll see what kind of dividends that may pay for them going forward.
Well, winning cures all just about, doesn't it, in sports? I mean, you no matter what's going on, if you win a couple of games, you can certainly turn things around very quickly. We hope that can happen for the Jaguars. They, of course, don't play Sunday, but they travel out west to Seattle the following week. Tony Smith on the call tonight for Bulls football, trying to get the Bulldogs out to a 7-0 start on the road at Gainesville Buchholz. Tony, thanks for a few minutes tonight. Have a good call, man.
Thank you very much, and go Braves.
Oh, yes, that's right. This is a football show. We can't get into the Braves, but Tony and I are diehard Braves fans, and we will just leave it at that. We got to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll put a wrap on the program tonight, getting you ready for Week 9 of the high school football season. You're listening to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Football Friday Night.
Starting the weekend with football, Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Rehabilitation Football Friday Night on 1010XL.
We are putting a wrap on the pregame tonight, Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Football Friday Night. I'm your host, Andrew Gibson, RJ Saunders producing. We've got games kicking off all around the area. Many games are underway. Let's get to our scoreboard here. This is our segment each and every week where we run down the scores of the 6:30 games and also the 7 o'clock games that are about 20 minutes into game action. And right now in the second quarter, Sandalwood has a 14-0 lead over the Mandarin Mustangs. That an 8A battle between Sandalwood and Mandarin. The Terry Parker Braves on top of the University Christian Christians. It's 14-7 Terry Parker over UC. How about Fletcher? The Senators are out to a 21-0 start against First Coast. That ball game is in the first quarter. We spoke earlier about Siatric Faison and the job that he's doing there at Fletcher, his first year as the head coach, where he starred as a running back there at Fletcher. They've won four games in a row after dropping their first three, so Fletcher's trying to get out to a good start there. They're up 21-0 over First Coast in the first quarter. We just got a report on 92.5 FM, 7-6 Suwannee late in the first quarter. You can catch that broadcast, Bishop Kenny and Suwannee, live from Bishop Kenny High School tonight on 92.5 FM. We've got a couple other scores that are in as well. Bradford and Yulee are tied at 7. That game is in the first quarter. Other games to keep a note of tonight that are kicking off about 10 minutes from now. How about Trinity Christian hosting Riverside? That is a ball game that has, as Denny Thompson told me earlier, as many as 12 Division I prospects in that game tonight between Riverside and Trinity Christian. That game is at Trinity tonight, 7:30 kickoff, about 10 minutes from right now. Other games that we've discussed as well, you know, Hacker pointed this game out to me earlier, Atlantic Coast and Fleming Island is a big one tonight, 7:30 kickoff there. St. Augustine Matanzas is a kickoff at 7:30 tonight. How about St. Augustine? This team is kind of a quiet team that's really played good football. They played Bulls to Bulls' best match this year. I mean, they only lost to Bulls by a handful of points in that game a few weeks ago. So St. Augustine is certainly a team to keep a note of as well. As we look at the scoreboard here in Week 9 of the high school football season here in Northeast Florida, this is crunch time, guys. I mean, this is you get into late October, Week 9. This is where district titles are being wrapped up, as Hacker and I discussed. And before we get out of here, we only got about 2 minutes left in our show tonight. I certainly want to mention the Northwest Classic, the 52nd Northwest Classic between Reigns and Rebalt is coming up tomorrow afternoon. No Gators, no Jaguars this weekend. Man, do yourself a favor. Go check out what Reigns and Rebalt have to offer tomorrow. As we spoke earlier with Donovan Maslin and Marlon White, both head coaches of Reigns and Rebalt, both fired up and ready to go for that game tomorrow. Reigns has won four in a row in the series. Rebalt trying to snap that losing streak. None of their seniors have won a game against Reigns, so they are trying to get off the schneid a little bit against their rival Reigns. That game kicking off at Rebalt tomorrow afternoon. About 3 o'clock is when that game will get started, and we certainly hope the best for both of those teams. Reigns is out to a very good start. They're 5-2. Not quite the season, of course, that Rebalt expected. They're 1-7, but at the end of the day, it's a rivalry game. Anything can happen. Rebalt could certainly pull an upset at home tomorrow, and that could certainly happen, but We think that Reigns is on a pretty good track in terms of where they're going at 5-2 under head coach Donovan Maslin. That's going to do it for tonight's program. I want to thank R.J. Saunders, Ryan the Hacker Green, both head coaches from Reigns and Rebalt, Marty Pallman, Tony Smith, all who joined us on the program tonight. Coming up next on 1010 AM, the Bulls Bulldogs back in action after a couple weeks off. They are on the road tonight at Gainesville Buholtz. That game coming up at 7:30. Tony Smith and Chris Verlander are on the call moments away. This is Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Football Friday Night. Have a great evening, everybody.